Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just running a test. We had some technical difficulties the other night on the show, and I'm running a test this morning to see if we can rectify the problem so that when we get ready to do our next show, everything will be all right. So I'm going to go into my commercial. When I come back, I'll be saying a few more words. This test will only last 15 minutes, so y'all hold on a moment.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Aleem L. Bay will be here in Jacksonville, Florida, February the 17th and 18th, which is Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tickets on sale, $45. Contact me, Tahaka Mana L. Bay, for your tickets at 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, February the 17th and 18th, Dr. Aleem L. Bay will be right here in Jacksonville, Florida at Al Salam's Masjid, right here in Florida. Okay? Peace. Setting up your trust is one of the greatest financial moves you can ever make for yourself and your family. Learn how to do that by visiting newdebtelimination.com. Our secure party and creditor package is the best, complete with everything you need to know and beyond. Don't hesitate to contact me, Tahaka Mana L. Bay, for more information, 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's newdebtelimination.com. Now it's time to set up your trust. This is for very serious people only. If you're a serious individual, contact me, 904-303-9061, or visit newdebtelimination.com.
Okay, we back. The other night, my special guest was Dr. Aleem L. Bay, and the problem that we were having was that I could hear him, but he couldn't hear me on the phone. And after the stretched broadcast as long as I could, and after I closed it down, I was able to go back and clearly see that we had a very serious problem with no communication on my end. However, we were talking about trust and stuff. So I'm going to run this little quick plug so we didn't get a chance to do this, so you could get the gist of what are the duties of a trustee. So if you just hold on a moment and keep in mind that this is just a test, okay?
Hello, and thank you for choosing the Legacy Lawyers as your source of information. We know this might be a difficult time you're going through, but we are here to educate you and help you through the process. Please stay tuned for our question and answer portion.
Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, David. How was your commute in this morning?
It was long, but I had an audiobook going, so...
I never thought about that. That's a great idea.
Yes, it helps.
Can imagine.
Greatly.
Okay, so you know for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about trust.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I always found really important, what are the duties of a trustee?
Okay. You know, it can be a little confusing when someone is the trustee and the beneficiary at the same time. This is generally speaking what happens when someone creates a trust during their lifetime, and they're the initial trustee. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use an example of a trustee who's not the beneficiary. So let's just say we're dealing with a trust, and it's being administered after the person who created the trust dies. So now there are two kids, and there's a third-party trustee, like let's just say an aunt or uncle. That trustee has the duty to administer the trust under its terms. That means to follow whatever instructions are in the trust. They have a duty to administer the assets in a way that is appropriate. Generally speaking, that means to make property productive. So if there are income-producing apartment buildings, they have a duty to keep that property productive and continue having renters, or to move cash into at least interest-bearing accounts. They have a duty to not use the trust for their own purpose. So, for example, if the aunt, her duties as trustee is to administer these trust assets for the kids, but she's going through a foreclosure on her own property, she can't just say, well, you know, I have access to these funds and I'm going to take my own property out of default by using these. I'm going to loan myself some money and I'll pay it back later. They can't do that. They also have to exercise a duty of impartiality. So that means that they have to administer the trust in an objective and impartial way. They can't say, well, the son, I've always very much enjoyed his company, but the daughter of the deceased person who created the trust hasn't really been close to me. Always kind of gave me the cold shoulder. And the daughter, who is now in some trouble financially, has a legitimate need for these assets, asks me for money, and I say, well, you know, you haven't really been nice, and I always kind of have the impression that you're lazy. You need to have a stiff upper lip and go aggressively find a job and pull yourself out of this. This trust wasn't intended to be a golden parachute. While the son says, well, I'd like to go to, nothing against art school, but, oh, you know what, you know, I'd like to try my hand at being a professional surfer. That didn't work, so now I'm going to go to art school, and the tuition is $50,000 a year, and I'd like to go. And the aunt says, well, whatever you want. So that's not really being impartial. So they have a duty to manage the trust assets prudently, a duty to not use the trust for their own purpose, and a duty to administer the trust in, you know, a way that is productive, and they have a duty to disclose information. So, for example, if the son or daughter says, auntie or uncle or pop-pop, I very much would like to have an idea as to how these assets are being managed. I'd like to know how much in assets there are and what type of growth or other type of strategies being utilized. And Pop-Pop says, well, you know what, I'm trustee and I'm in charge, so buzz off. That is a violation of duty to report information. So that will be a breach of a duty. So a trustee truly is someone, and it gets blurred when one of the beneficiaries is also the trustee, or when the person who's entitled to the trust assets during lifetime is a trustee, and also in a situation where a family member who has all of this intangible, historical, feeling-based knowledge of the children tries to do their best based on their impressions and not what's in the trust, that gets very blurry. So when you want to look at what a trustee is supposed to do, it's best to look at it based on the concept of, this is going to be a neutral outside person. What would you expect of this non-related outside person to do in administering the trust? And it's all very common sense based, but they are duties. And that is what a trust is supposed to do, is to administer the trust solely for the benefit of the beneficiaries using these guidelines and rules.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If you guys have any additional questions, feel free to email us at smm@thelegacylawyers.com. Have a great day.
Okay, we're back. Now, what was just described to you is your average trust, but there's only one type of trust that we recommend here, and that is an irrevocable common law trust. And that operates somewhat different. Once the grantor formulates an irrevocable common law trust, he has totally left it up to his trustees, trust protector, executive secretary, and trust manager to operate the trust on behalf of the beneficiaries. The beneficiaries do not come in calling any shots. What they are to understand and to be taught is how the trust functions, so in the day that the grantors no longer residing over the trust, they're able to take his place, and the trust still functions. It's still, the investments are still being made. The grantors are not signing any checks. The machinery is what is making the investments, signing the checks, distribution, funding the trust, the whole ball of wax, an irrevocable common law trust. Now, keep in mind, this is, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the other duties of the trustees, and make, because I need to make sure that this is something totally different. Let me go down here and look again. No, I think this is the same exact thing. So we're going to go here to another little plug that I have, because what I'm trying to do is see whether I'm coming across on this broadcast in advance. Hold on.
Wait till I get my money right.
13th anniversary of the worst attack on American soil. September 11, 2001. We must remember that day. We must always remember that day. We must never put it behind us. We must never say, well, it's in the past. Let's move on. We can never move on. The other thing that we must remember is that we're not any safer today, maybe less safe, than we were on that day. And part of the reason is because this administration has eviscerated our military. We've not gone after our enemies, and our southern border is wide open.
Matt, what happened in 9/11 was a crime against humanity, and America should always remember that and work diligently to make sure that that never happens again. But no government can keep its population totally 100% safe. So we must do our due diligence to send a message to those terrorists that if you're successful in striking America, we will hunt you down like the criminals you are, and you will pay the consequences. But also, I think that we should do a better job in this country of educating the American public. The first time that airplanes were used to kill hundreds and potentially thousands of people in this country was not September the 11th. It was in the 1930s in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when on a Sunday afternoon, white people who were jealous of the prosperity of an entire black community got in airplanes and bombed their people and killed hundreds. And some studies say up to 4,000 African Americans were murdered in Tulsa, Oklahoma using airplanes.
What has that got to do with 9/11? What has that got to do with what the hell we're talking about?
Because you said, how do we remember? And what I want you to understand is we should remember 9/11 the same way we remember Tulsa, Oklahoma, and what happened with that terrorist act against black people.
Let me explain something to you, Quanell. These people in the Middle East, like ISIS, they want to kill you. They want to kill me. They want to kill your kids. They want to kill everybody. So instead of making this a racist argument, let's talk about Americans. We're all Americans, right?
And Matt.
So let's protect
the hundreds, potentially thousands that were murdered in Tulsa, Oklahoma, were Americans being murdered and slaughtered by terrorists who were Americans also. So don't tell me that when white people are slaughtered in New York, and yes, they were, and black people died too.
What are you talking about?
All races died in New York.
There were Catholics, there were Muslims, there were Asians, whites and blacks.
Yes,
all kinds of
people killed. A crime against humanity. But remember, the first time it happened was when you did it to black people in Oklahoma using airplanes. Chickens come home to roost whether you like it or not.
Wow, man. You know what? The reason why this country is in such dire shape,
Matt,
is because people
is,
like
Matt,
you
educate
have
the
lost
American
focus
public
on what made this country great.
And America, they didn't make this country great. Everybody in this country made America great, but pay all of its citizens the correct homage and treat all of us equal. The first terrorists were not them from Arabs. It was right here in America.
I love the game. I love the hustle. I love the game. I love the hustle.